This is Scott Becker with the Becker's Healthcare Podcast. We're here today with leaders from Extend Healthcare. We're fortunate to have the President and CEO, Mike Morris. We also have Linda Corley, the Vice President of Compliance and Quality Assurance from Extend Healthcare. We're going to talk today about how strong compliance can increase revenue and cash, particularly during this COVID-19 pandemic. A critical issue is more and more health systems struggle financially due to changing certain case volumes and not being able to do elective cases that drive a lot of revenues. Mike and Linda, can I ask you to take a second and introduce yourself?
Sure, Scott. This is Mike Morris. I appreciate you having us on today. We look forward to it. I am the president and CEO of Extend Healthcare. We are a rev cycle services provider serving providers throughout the United States, manage the full continuum of the revenue cycle, both front end, mid revenue cycle, as well as business office function.
Thank you. And Linda?
Yes, I'm delighted to be here today, and particularly to talk about compliance. I am compliance officer and also work within our quality assurance area to be make sure that we understand policies and procedures and that we are assisting our customers, our clients, on all that is changing about healthcare. Primarily, my background has been in hospital reimbursement. I have worked with physicians and office practices throughout the years, but I am one of those people in healthcare that want us to do everything, charging, coding, billing, so that we reach optimum reimbursement in a compliant manner, but that we understand how to meet the needs of payers so that reimbursement is optimized.
Thank you very, very much. We've got a deep subject matter experts on the phone, excited to talk about reimbursement. We'll talk about strategies. We'll talk about how numerous health systems have handled challenges through this COVID-19 situation. We'll talk about Extend Healthcare and more. Linda and Mike, let me start with the following question. It's not a great secret that healthcare reimbursement has dramatically changed during this public health emergency, the pandemic caused by COVID-19. And many people don't sort of sense how and why compliance is such an important part of this. Talk about why compliance is so important to getting paid correctly and making sure you're doing things accurately.
Well, as I mentioned, I think there have been so many changes, particularly through our new regulations, the CARES Act and the FFCRA. They not only enacted new payment opportunities for us in healthcare, but they also made changes to those areas of the revenue cycle that I mentioned. Coverage of services, certainly appropriate coding to be used, how the services can now be billed, and then what's required for reimbursement. So affecting both health systems, hospitals, other types of entities, and then of course professional providers. We have been particularly tuned in to not only telemedicine, because so many of the limitations on where services can be provided have been removed. We do have new codes that have been added, defining who can provide covered telemedicine services. But we also have new codes for 2020 that allow reimbursement for e-visits, for remote monitoring, for other services that we want to be sure are included when we're interacting with our customers, that they see and that we both are making use of to have that reimbursement that is now available to us. We also have worked with a couple of our customers just to look at, may we have different tracks of non-COVID-19 patients who require their regular care, perhaps for a chronic illness, versus what we are providing to our coronavirus or our COVID-19 patients. So I think all of this information, we have provided webinars. We have provided just thought leadership papers to work with our hospital and physician clients so that we're understanding what is available, of course, but then how are we putting that into practice? To me, the how-to is as important as recognizing the theoretical change in regulations, but putting those in place without, you know, understanding what is, who is being affected, first of all, I think is our being able to translate those new regulations into billable services is what's important. That's what we've been focusing on and assisting our clients or our customers with.
Thank you. And take us a step forward. Extend enjoys a magnificent reputation in helping organizations, health systems. What strategies can organizations use to meet the challenges? What can they do? What are some of the specific things that systems can do?
Well, interestingly enough, we are seeing more and more interaction between us as an organization and patient care management, because as we all now understand, knowing what a specific payer requires to be able to provide a covered service, and having that specific knowledge of not only reimbursement, but how can we meet that patient's needs? We want to be sure our clinical team members understand what's required, and we want to work that knowledge in with clinical protocols. How are we working with patients to not only identify their medical needs, but make sure that we are meeting those needs in a way that serves the patient, but also allows for optimum reimbursement? So, as I mentioned, we've been working to develop not only a coverage track for COVID-19 patients with the new regulations, but also looking at our routine chronic care patient population that care needs to continue for and be more specific to that particular patient's needs. We do have a couple of hospitals that have considered placing type B Medicare ER services, and those services allow for a shorter day, much closer to, let's say, a physician's office hours, and allow for patients perhaps to be seen in a different location of the hospital than the regular ER. Often those type B services would be considered urgent instead of emergent, so the patient is being treated in a safer area of the hospital, and they also are being treated for perhaps a chronic disease process or something that is of less emergent nature, but would also meet that particular payer's requirements for medical necessity. So that's one of the strategies that we have been not only promoting, but assisting with our hospitals, our health systems, to look at, do you want to create perhaps what could be called a fast track area for patients who are not emergent? Certainly, we are looking at all of the communication technology-based services that are available to us for COVID-19 patients, as well as our regular patient population. Education, of course, is always important to us, and as I mentioned, we are working with our customers to ensure they have the education, and then that if we can help with a particular procedure so that we are putting that education, that new information into use. And I think it's interesting that in years past, when we have looked at the silos that are sometimes between rev cycle integrity, let's say, and the clinical care that's being provided to patients, I think that COVID-19 has moved us closer together simply because of the very short time frame to prepare for these patients, and then, as I mentioned, to also to continue to care for our regular patient population. We do feel like compliance, based on payer specificity, not only allow, as I mentioned, for that patient to be treated in the appropriate manner, his or her medical need quickly identified and met, but then it also allows us simply to be part of providing a solution to what has been a difficult challenge for both hospitals, physicians, and patients. So we want to be part of that solution. We want to be able to offer suggestions to almost review the types of patients that are seeking care for a particular area of the hospital and use our knowledge to put those how-tos in place that I mentioned.
And what I would add to that, Linda, I think you do a great job of describing the types of strategies that our customers are thinking about. But as an industry, we are having to execute on these strategies in such a dramatically changed environment. Obviously, the regulatory and legislative environment is rapidly changing. The flow of patients is changing, and the care settings in which patients are being seen are changing. And certainly the volume of patients for elective type procedures are being reduced. So I think the biggest challenge that we're seeing as we talk to health systems is how do you leverage the compliance function to assure that you're getting a complete and compliant payment for services rendered in an environment where oftentimes the resources necessary to get it right are at home, they're working in a different type of environment than they've ever done before, and they struggle to have that interdepartmental communication because it's just much more difficult in today's environment to stay well coordinated. So staying coordinated, we think, is extremely important, and it takes a lot of planning to be able to handle the current environment.
And Mike, let me ask you a follow-up question. You're the president and CEO of Extend. You've been in the revenue cycle business for 25 plus years. You really spent either your whole career or a huge part of your career in this area. Have you ever seen a time like this where health systems have been so acutely impacted by a particular issue?
Absolutely. I don't think I've ever seen anything close to this. It's a very dynamic and changing environment, and it has been for 25 years. And but right now, if you look at it, you know, we talk to our customers, their revenues are down anywhere from 25 to 50%. Saw a study that in the month of April across 800 different hospitals, the average operating margins are negative 29%. So certainly the economic dynamics right now are truly unique and difficult to work your way through. And there's stimulus money out there, but it's not enough money to offset the reduction in cash flow from net patient revenues, and hence cash reserves are going down. So I would say I've never seen anything even close to like what we're dealing with now. And my gut tells me that it is something that as an industry, we're gonna have to deal with for two or three more years. So being very efficient in what you do, collecting every dollar that you're entitled to and doing it in a cost-effective way are going to be big challenges that we'll have to tackle for the foreseeable future.
Picking up on something you mentioned, and I'll go back to Linda on this issue, numerous health systems have requested and received advanced cash from Medicare. They've also participated in some of these other programs to help them sort of bridge the gap, although the payments were needed. What are some of the precautions that should be taken to ensure compliance with these CMS programs? Linda or Mike, can you comment on that, sort of compliance needed to make sure you stay in good shape with these programs?
Well, I think as Mike mentioned, because volumes are down and revenue, of course, is down, I think understanding and a couple of our particular customers have worked with us, or we have worked with them, to ensure that because the Medicare advanced cash will begin to be recouped 120 days after the cash advance was received, those particular health systems are looking at their volumes now to see whether or not Medicare, and this is traditional Medicare fee-for-service, recouping payments beginning at that 120-day mark, the entire cash advance needs to be repaid to Medicare within 8 months after the recoupments begin. So understanding what Medicare services are being charged and billed, not only the volumes for those, but the expected reimbursement, and then estimating whether or not the entire cash advance will be paid back within that additional 8 month period, I think is very important to every hospital or system that received a cash advance. And I think understanding too, as Mike mentioned, making sure that we are looking at the care needs for our patient populations and simply reaching out to patients who may want care or need care but want to understand how it can be provided to them is extremely important in this particular area of returning to elective procedures, to making sure if we've got programs that are being carried out for different patient populations, that those are increased or ramped up as quickly as they can be, again, focusing on patient care, but then understanding what's available that I now may be able to provide to patients that would not have been available prior to these changes in legislation. I think understanding all available reimbursement sources, certainly I can't emphasize enough compliance with billing requirements. And I would mention how complicated billing has become, not only for Medicare, but for all of our payers, understanding specifically what needs to be on that claim in order to be reimbursed appropriately is extremely important, but it's also necessary from the compliance perspective so that I'm meeting that particular payer's requirements, but making sure that, as Mike mentioned, we've earned every dollar and that dollar has been returned to us. My simple answer is to be looking now or reviewing now Medicare services that are being charged and billed so that the system or the hospital does understand how those monies are going to be repaid and will you be able to meet that very short time frame. Recoupments begin in 120 days after cash was received and the money is to be paid back in full within another 8 month period, or the system, the hospital will owe interest on that money that was advanced.
Understood. Thank you very, very much. Talk about revenue integrity. Revenue integrity, critically important. How can leaders achieve better revenue integrity? Linda, some of your thoughts here, and then Mike, I'd love you to sort of just jump in a little bit on some of the things you've seen over the last 20 years in revenue integrity. Linda?
Thank you. Revenue integrity is important to me. As I mentioned, just because I think some of those silos that we have seen in the past between clinical care or even protocols, clinical protocols that we have set for patient care, we want to break down any barriers that could possibly be there just so the entire system understands the services being provided. You know, something simple that we've talked about with a client this week is my charge master up to date? Do I have my electronic order entry set for these new services that now can be charged and billed? Do we have the appropriate information for diagnoses that are very much date specific? As far as COVID-19, all of these very specific details, I think, that drive revenue integrity, but also have to be put in place, and as Mike mentioned, in a very short time frame, are we looking to see if those particular pertinent facts have been addressed, and are we working with our clinical team members to ensure they understand service opportunities, interacting with patients in a different manner. And I think knowledge of the regulations, and I know that I have said this before, but knowledge of the regulations, making sure that we are adopting consistent application for those different patient service scenarios and then accurately executing the parts of the revenue cycle, patient registration or access, understanding coding, I think is very important, the actual codes that are being charged for services, and simply being in tune with either each state's requirements for Medicaid, and we know that Medicaid is expanding, and then certainly understanding the Medicare changes in what's required both for our traditional Medicare as well as our Medicare Advantage plans. All of this to me needs to come together. One topic that we've addressed this week with some of our particular clients or customers is the CS modifier that we now know for COVID-19 services should be attached to either laboratory testing or related visits, outpatient services to that patient that perhaps requires testing for COVID-19 or is being treated for COVID-19. That CS modifier not only allows the payer to understand that there should be no deductibles and coinsurance, no cost sharing for this particular patient, but in the case of traditional Medicare, actually returns a slightly higher payment. So all of that to me, important for, as I mentioned, compliance. Certainly I want to make sure my claim is representative of the services provided, but I think we've moved out of that risk mitigation area of compliance. Now we want to enlarge the definition of compliance to address how can we be proactive so that not only are we compliant, but is our reimbursement, as I mentioned, and I apologize, but I continue to use the word optimum. I don't want to say maximum because we're not certainly not going to carry out anything that is inappropriate in the reimbursement area, but I can't, you know, to me, payer specific, understanding the changes, and then being able to consistently apply procedures or processes that carry out those changes, to me, is what is important.
Well, fantastic. And optimum is fully the right word. So I appreciate you using that word consistently because it's really the right word. It's not to maximize. It's also not to get paid less than a hospital system should, but it's the right amount for the services provided, which is all a big part of compliance and revenue integrity. Mike, you were going to lean in for a second.
Yeah, I think the way I would summarize it is when I heard the term revenue integrity 10 years ago, it was probably thought of as a defensive posture. Don't bill it if we run the risk of running afoul of any regulation. Now what I think we have to do, because the financials are not as strong as they have historically been, we've got to be able to think of compliance as an offensive tool to get everything into place to be able to bill for everything that we're entitled to get paid for. So it's a mind shift, if you will, as an industry that I think we're really going to have to adopt quickly so that we're able to take advantage of any cash opportunity we have for services that we render.
Well, fantastic. And then Linda and Mike, you've gotten yourself way out in front on contact tracing. Can you talk about the contact tracing offering and how that works with state health departments? That's a very important part of trying to contain COVID spread in this pandemic. Can one of you take a moment and talk about that?
Yeah, absolutely. I'd love to. It's a business that we were not in. You know, if you look across the country 2 years ago, there was probably 2,000 people primarily employed directly with departments of health throughout the country that did contact tracing for a variety of infectious diseases. But it was a very much an under the covers. You didn't really hear about it much. Recent estimates are that across the country, we're going to need over 100,000 people doing that. And obviously, the individual departments of health don't have the resources to be able to make that happen. So we had, because we've got dialers and things like that, we have the ability to have conversations with a lot of patients and or contacts that may have come into contact with somebody that had a positive diagnosis for COVID-19. So we're working with a variety of states to help them plan out how do you scale up to the number of people you need in communities across the country, and how do you stay in touch with people that are contacts? How do you get them the social resources they need to be able to self-quarantine and thus reduce the transmission of COVID-19? And ultimately, we view that as something that is good for society. It's good for our customers, because the quicker as a country we can get on top of this virus, the quicker we'll move back to a business as usual. So even as we continue to serve rep cycle issues that our customers have, we're also trying to help states where we can to provide the resources to reach out and have conversations every day with people to help reduce that risk of exposure across the country.
And Mike, Linda, take another moment. Extend's developed a great reputation. You work with some of the top health systems in the country, whether regional systems, great elite systems, children's hospitals, and more, on business office functions, revenue cycle functions, all kinds of things. Obviously, today's discussion, compliance and revenue integrity. How do people learn more about Extend Healthcare?
I think our goal is always meeting the customer's need. And that's important to me, having worked primarily my background is compliance, but I think understanding that each healthcare system is just a little bit different. We all offer the very same medical services, but in very different ways, I think. So it's always been important to me to meet the customer's needs so that we can assist with their mission to care for patients, particularly not only in those very large systems, but in some of our smaller community hospitals. And just as with COVID-19, we see increased patient care needs. And I think being able to work alongside a particular health system, hospital, or even physician allows us to be part of the good that healthcare provides, even though we hear a lot of different things. I just feel that it's so important, not only to me, to all of Extend, that we understand what is needed within healthcare, that we work toward providing some of those solutions that generally may not be provided by a rev cycle company. And I think because we are very much interested in seeing benefits carried out to patients and even to providers themselves. I've enjoyed seeing all the advertisements for heroes within our healthcare system. And I truly think that those people on the front lines and even those people within revenue cycle are all part of our particular methodology for caring for people. And I think that's what's important. Oftentimes, we will share a particular, picture of new equipment purchased or perhaps a new wing built or all of these results of being able to work with our clients that to me are so rewarding as far as what's being done, not only for that particular facility, that healthcare system, but for the patients who are going to receive that care.
Yeah, we would love to continue the conversation with anybody that has an interest. The easiest way to get a hold of us, if you go to extendhealthcare.net, and Extend starts with an X. There's no E at the beginning. So extendhealthcare.net, click on Contact Us, and we'd love to talk to you.
Great. Mike Morris, Linda Corley, just a pleasure to visit with you and the Extend Healthcare team. Thank you very much for sharing your thoughts today.
Thank you, Scott.
I enjoyed. Thank you.